Welcome to episode 81 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. If you listened to last week's show, you'll know that I was talking to you whilst out in one of my favourite local woodlands. You'll also know that at that point I was sheltering from the rain. Well, with a few minutes to pass while the showers blew over, I thought it might be interesting to talk about how I protect my kit and myself when the elements take a turn for the worse. Or, indeed, what steps I take when conditions are completely the reverse, that is, hot, dry, or dusty. So, let's just get straight into it. Welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 81. As I record this, I am stood underneath a yew tree in an ancient woodland, and you can probably tell, hopefully, that it's pouring down with rain. Now, this is a very impromptu recording. I've just finished recording another piece of audio, and I was just about to head back to my car and get on with my day. But given that it's now pouring with rain, I thought I would just stay dry for a little bit longer. But it got me to thinking about the weather, funnily enough, and more precisely, what photographers do when the elements are against us. As a starting point, I will take something that my mum once said to me many years ago, when I was just starting to get a bit more serious about photography, probably before I knew that I wanted to be a photographer, but certainly at a time when photography was where I was spending a lot of my money and time. She said to me, if you are going to be a photographer, you need to work in all weathers. You can't just be out there when the sun is shining. And of course, as a as a younger man, I laughed it off and what have you. But as the years have gone by, and as I have found myself at on the wrong end, I'm just going to put my phone actually away just before the rain does get to it. It's pretty sheltered, but there we go. So as I have found myself on the wrong end of the weather in various situations, I, of course, have had to deal with it, plain and simple. Now, sometimes I have been on location for a client. Give you an example. Many years ago, I used to photograph on occasions for a magazine called Wavelength, which is a surfing magazine. And every year there was, it's no longer running, but there was an event called the White Air Extreme Sports Festival. And I would go over to the Isle of Wight, which is, for those that don't know, just off the south coast here in the UK. And I would be there for a week or thereabouts photographing surfing, but not just surfing. There were other events. There was mountain biking. There was mountain boards were the big thing at the time. A lot of you may remember those. But there was windsurfing. There was all sorts of other activities that went on. But the main events that I was photographing was the surfing for the magazine. And on this one occasion in particular, and this was the last weekend in November that these events took place. On this one occasion, I was there, ready to take the pictures, and the weather was turning against us, and it was decided that the events were going to go ahead anyway for that morning. And we were stood there, and the rain was lashing down to the point where it was virtually horizontal. It was a force 9 wind there, and this driving rain, and I had to shelter behind behind, what do you call them, beach huts and what have you. And the realistically, the upshot of it was that we, as photographers, were getting somewhere in the region of 15 minutes or less to photograph the action, which was happening offshore. And then we went back into the media tent and probably sat there for the next 2 hours, drinking coffee and eating snacks and all the things that, you know, are really not conducive to keeping yourself on top and what have you. Anyway, so yeah, that was an occasion where I had to get the results to show the magazine, because I was writing an event report. And I did this for a number of years, but I had to write the report talking about the results and the action and what was happening and what have you. But of course, I had to have a set of pictures to accompany it. And it was an interesting event, but that sort of thing does happen. So as much as I don't want this recording to be about a kit list, oh, you should have this and you should have that, there are certain things which are worth bearing in mind. So, for example, if you know or suspect that it's going to be adverse weather, i.e. rain or snow, if you're out shooting in the snow, a lot of you will know that I don't hark on a lot about loads and loads of kit. I like to keep it quite simple. Just make sure that your kit is protected, you know. Waterproof bags are available in terms of rucksacks. Stuff sacks I am a big fan of, a lot of you will know. And these are basically roll-top bags which you can put all sorts of items in. Everything from, for example, if I've just got a regular rucksack, as I have today, I'll often put my water bottle in there in a stuff sack, which basically you roll the top over, clip it down, and that keeps it watertight. So if the top should come off the bottle, the water is contained, it doesn't go all over what's in your bag. You can get other waterproof pouches, photography rucksacks, some of which are not waterproof until you put the rain cover over them. But that's just the starting point, because of course it's all very well having your equipment protected whilst you are trekking through a woodland or up a hillside, or whilst it's on, I know, in a trailer behind a van or wherever it might be. You've then got to actually use that kit to photograph what you're going to photograph. So how do you get around that? And I've tried all sorts of things in the past. Now, you could go, if let's take as an assumption that, and this goes, the same here is true whether you are using a point-and-shoot camera or whether you're using a top-of-the-line Pro DSLR. Let's say you had an SLR with a basic zoom lens on it and you need to protect it. What do you do? Well, you could get your fleece or your jumper or jacket or what have you and sort of hover it over. You could stand underneath an umbrella, I suppose. But realistically, if you're trying to get shots and you're on the move and what have you, how do you do it? The simple solution often is to get a large either carrier bag, which doesn't look at all pretty, if it's a light shower, something like a large carrier bag, or one of those bags that you get to put stuff in the freezer. Now, I know that our American friends would refer to them, I believe, as Ziploc bags. I'm not quite sure what we call them over here. I think that term has been adopted. But it's one of those where you just run your fingers along the top and it has like, like a plastic ridge there which self-seals when you run your fingers across. That sort of thing, although, see, you could poke a hole, you could poke a hole in the non-opening end and put your front of your lens through that, and then at the other end you could leave it open so that you can access all your dials, or you can, if it's a big enough bag, you can then seal that up, or you can just turn it around so that you put the camera backwards, so the body first into that bag, and then just get something like a rubber band and seal, or even a piece of string, it doesn't really matter, as long as the lens motion works fine, then just seal that end. Now, it's not going to be, before I get people sending me letters, do people send letters? Before you email me or send me messages on Twitter or what have you, that's not going to make your camera 100% waterproof, okay? So don't come running to me when your camera has been out in the rain and what have you. But if it was a case like, say, today, where I've just come under this tree to get some shelter, if it was a case you still wanted to be taking pictures and you just wanted to protect your camera from a light shower, then that has, for me, worked in the past. And I know that my Nikon cameras that I use are sealed so that they can handle a lot more moisture floating around than maybe a consumer level camera. You shouldn't assume that your camera is essentially bulletproof when it comes to the rain or the snow. So that's one option. If you then go the step up from that, you can start to look at specific cases made specific for cameras. So there are various manufacturers on the market. The company that I would recommend would be Aquapac, and of course all of these I will link to in the show notes. And these are cases that are waterproof, so your camera is 100% sealed from the elements, and they can be submerged to a depth of, don't quote me on this, I'm just trying to go from memory here, I think it's something like 3 meters, maybe, I wouldn't like to say for sure, but they can certainly be submerged to some depth. Great for going on your holiday and being in the pool, or if you want to be shooting, you know, if you're out on a boat and you want to be doing something, it's really good. If say kayaking is your thing, or canoeing, really good, well worth a look, and I'll link to that. You can then start looking at people like Kata. They make a series of waterproof covers for DSLRs, which have a good feature whereby you can put your arms, they have almost like sleeves, and the best way to describe it, those of you that remember the good old days of film, do you remember when we used to have to take the film out of the cassette and we had to load it onto the spool ready to go into the processing tank? We used to have what was known as a changing bag, and you would unzip it, and sometimes it was one or usually two zips, so it created a light baffle so no light got inside. But then at the side you had a couple of sleeves which were usually elasticated, and again often they'd have a second elasticated area inside so that no light got in. Well, if you imagine those sleeves, which would go probably just past your wrist, or in this case, yeah, probably just past your wrist, that's what the, for example, the Kata covers offer. And again, it's something that I will be putting up on the site as a review. I've had a number of these for a while, and they will be featured in a test review in a while. So then you've got something like that, and they're pretty affordable. They're well worth investing in, because at the end of the day, it's cheaper to buy one of those products than it is to have your camera replaced or repaired. You can then look at, right to the top, and you're starting to look at things like, there's a company called, I believe, Aquatech, and they are pretty expensive. They are, if you see photographers on the sidelines at sporting events, like football, or I know in America they're very popular, so baseball and American football and what have you, and the rain is coming down, a lot of photographers with their very big lenses, like their 300-500 mm lenses and above, they have Aquatech covers. And again, you know, they're a bit more sophisticated in that For example, if I was to use the one for my Nikon cameras, there is a removable eyepiece. You have to get the right eyepiece so it seals. Rather than you looking through some... clear plastic. Is that PVU, I think? Rather than looking through this clear, sort of malleable, rubberized plastic through the viewfinder, you actually... don't you use the dedicated eyepiece so that you are actually looking straight through the viewfinder as you normally would. Again, those are, for a great many people, are going to be out of reach because of a financial aspect, which is a great shame. But as is so often the case, a lot of products come at a cost. Now I have just suggested three I believe, my mind's gone blank, three methods: carrier bag, aquapack, or freezer bag, aquapack, and the Aquatech. There are others on the market that are at varying price points, varying levels of how good they are. Anything is better than nothing, would usually be the word. But what happens when it's not raining, when the weather is far from wet? So you've got snow and ice and frost, and you've got the rain. But then, you know, I'm stood here in a woodland in August, the very beginning of August as I record this. So we're in the middle of summer, but typical British summer, it's raining. We've had... I think summer this year officially so far has been 10 days. I think that's how much proper sun in a straight line we've had. So on those occasions where the weather is nice, what are you going to do? How are you going to protect your camera? Now, most of the time, you are not going to need to protect your camera. if you were worried about the heat getting to your camera, and you know, a lot of the times, you know, cameras are very resilient. If you're worried about that, you could just put a cloth or a jumper, or if you've got a floppy hat, put that over the top, and it will protect it a bit from the sun, but so much as to not really make a difference. But when you're talking about working in dusty or dirty conditions, that might be something you want to give some thought to. So, for example, I am looking to photograph some car racing in the coming weeks. And if it's a hot day and dusty on the track, and this is essentially kind of off-road, this isn't track racing, there's going to be a lot of dust flying about. So how do you protect your camera equipment? Well, of course, you have a decent bag that your kit stays in until the very last minute, until you need to use it. But then what do you do when you get dust all over your camera? Well, in my experience, and having had cameras coated in dust, you can do one of two things. You can either take one of these cloths, which is funny, it kind of retains moisture, but not in a way that moisture gets onto things, if that makes sense. It doesn't, obviously you can't wring it out or anything. You find them in sort of hardware shops, and you know, they're used for just household cleaning. They're very funny because they kind of feel damp to the touch, but they're actually, your fingers don't get wet. It's really strange. So you could get something like that, or just a chamois leather. And this rain is just starting, you can probably hear, starting to come down a bit heavier. Yeah, so you can get something like that, or a chamois leather. So if there is lots of dust, in my experience, I generally, as long as the front element of the lens is clean, so you just use whatever, chamois leather, or if you're in an absolute hurry, you just use the corner of your shirt or what have you, or a lens brush or what have you, make sure that's clean so you get crisp images. The rest of the camera, I tend to kind of leave it Because bear in mind that what I'm talking about here is actually being out shooting pictures. You're on the go. You're having to think about, I'm just going to stop here. There's a deer just looked at me and running away. And would you believe it? I haven't got my camera. Ah, that's lovely. He's just run off into the undergrowth now. Yes, so, wow, that's lovely. Do you know, I'm just going to sidetrack for a moment. As I was walking around, I thought I heard something. And I know that deer do appear in these woodlands. They are here all the time. And I've seen them many times. But I never get tired of seeing them because it's quite humbling. I love being in the woodland. I find it very centering. It makes me very relaxed. But it's lovely when you see the deer, and it's always a real treat to see them, and you know, just stop, because you know I am in their territory here, so you have to respect it. But there we go. Yeah, I can raise my voice a little bit now. Yeah, so you can wipe all the dust and stuff off your cameras, but I know through my own experience, having been doing that, and then all of a sudden some action happens that you've been waiting for, and you just, you know, you're kicking yourself because you've missed those shots. I tend to just let my cameras get dusty, and at the end of the day, clean them off ready for the next day. If it's rain, obviously you want to protect the rain, and if it is pretty heavy and you haven't got any cover, you want to wipe that off as quickly as you can to protect your cameras. Bear in mind with dust, if you can, don't change your lenses over. If you can be using the same lens attached for a prolonged period of time, that's ideal, and you won't be getting the dust and dirt going into your camera. If you do have to change your lens, you want to make sure that if there is action going on, you're going to check the wind and make sure the wind isn't blowing towards you so that it blows into the camera once the lens is detached. That's the biggest thing, is you want to, you know, sometimes you can't help it. You're stuck in a situation, you've only got one camera, or the action suddenly changes, which means you need to get a different lens quickly. You know, you can try and look to see if there is much dust around the lens mount area so that you don't brush that in. What you can do is, if you do see quite a bit of dust around the area that it shouldn't actually be on the lens mount itself on the camera body, because that is hidden from view once the lens is mounted, but just immediately outside of that ring, if you just lick your finger and just sort of run your finger around that area just to clear away any dust that might immediately be there, that is often good to stop dust getting sort of knocked in into the inner workings of the camera. But yeah, you know, you have to work in all situations. Sometimes, although I'm not actually shooting today, sometimes it's a case that you just put your camera away, or just chuck it under a coat or something, and you just sit it out. So as I'm sat here now, it's nice and quiet, and the rain has near but stopped. Okay, and then you just carry on. Other times you have to be out in it. For example, if you're halfway up a hillside with no cover, you just have to use intelligent decision making to work out what you're going to do. The other thing I haven't mentioned, and we'll just round off on this, is yourself. Because at the end of the day, if you don't protect yourself from the elements, you are going to be really uncomfortable, and it's going to be no fun taking pictures. So if it's whatever the weather, you want to be working on a layering system so that you've got your base layers, mid layers, and the outer shell, so that you are keeping warm and dry, and your movement is not restricted, and like I say, you're nice and comfortable. Now, the layering system works in different ways for different weather. Obviously, if it's a scorching hot day, you need to be thinking about, especially in the hot, think about breathable clothing that allows moisture to wick away from your body so that you stay dry and comfortable. And this goes for everything from T-shirts and trousers down to walking boots and socks and all this sort of thing. I won't go into too much detail here, but one thing I would say, it's really well worth investing in decent outerwear. If nothing else, if all you were going to wear was your jeans and a T-shirt and a just normal pair of sports socks, it is, you know, it's very easy for photographers of all levels to think, oh yeah, I'm going to spend X amount of pounds on this new camera or a new lens or a tripod or whatever it is. That's fine, but at the end of the day, there's only, for most people, there's only one camera operator, and if that is you, you need to make sure that you are comfortable. So if it's raining, you want a nice waterproof breathable outer shell. A lot of you will have heard of a company called Gore-Tex. They are the industry leader. There are others out there. They allow your moisture to escape and evaporate, but they don't let the rain in. Oh, and here's another deer. Oh, it's lovely. I'm just going to go very... This deer is probably about 20 metres away from me. Oh, I bet I won't be able to get my camera. I've had my camera in my little point and shoot in my pocket all afternoon, and it's in my bag. Oh, it's just such a beautiful sight, and I bet the moment I move to go to my rucksack, he's going to run away. So I'm just going to sit and watch it. It's quite a young one, but he's watching because he can hear. Oh, this is fantastic. Unbelievable I don't have my camera. I know it doesn't make for the most gripping audio, but this is how it goes. And he's just gone out into the distance. And I'm going to see if I can get to my bag. He's kind of out of range now, though. I'm going to see, because there might be some others. Can I see another one? No, I'm not going to be able to catch up with him. Okay, well, there we go. I have completely forgotten what I was talking about specifically now, but oh yes, if you know, let's just round this up here. If you are out and about, you need to make sure that you are protected from the elements. If it's raining, have a really good outer shell, the jacket, the trousers, some really comfortable walking boots which will keep your feet comfortable and dry. If you are out in the heat of the midday sun, make sure that again you have breathable clothes that keep you you know, nice and comfortable. Sunblock, wear a hat, you know. A lot of you will know I don't have a full head of hair these days, so I especially have to be careful. But yeah, you just want to think about yourself as well as your cameras. That's all I'm saying. It's quite simple, but it's very easy often to forget about ourselves when we're so keen to make those pictures and to capture those moments. Anyway, speaking of which, I'm going to have a little stroll and see if I can see if that deer is anywhere close, because I might be able to get a blurry, dark picture from afar. Who knows? But the rain has stopped. That's the main thing. I just wanted to share a few thoughts about how you stay warm, dry and protected when you're out taking photographs. So, on that note, I will leave it there.
With the thought of wet weather on my mind, and in spite of the fine weather we've had this past week, I've also put together my latest test review, featuring the rather excellent Paramo Velez Adventure Smock. This really is a truly dependable waterproof outer layer, so be sure to follow the link and take a look to see how it fared for me over the course of this past year. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.
member of the CurrentPhotographer.com podcast network. Find more great photography shows at CurrentPhotographer.com/podcast. CurrentPhotographer.com.